recording. As of now, we're recording. It's a big day around here. No Phil. And Fred and I are going to be on the Joe Tilly, what's it called? Joe Tilly Sports Show.
Why are you putting me on the spot?
I'm sorry.
No idea.
I know. It's called Read Joe Tilly Sports. Okay. Joe Tilly Sports. Have you got the notification about that yet? Because I can't. Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Oh, you did get it?
Yeah, it's a different system than the one we use.
Yeah.
It's a different meeting place.
Can you send that to me? I must have deleted it. Yeah, anyway, it's a big day around here. No Phil, we're doing that. This is the very first... let me just get this on Facebook. You know, today is actually the 10th anniversary of our very first sort of, I don't know, real show. That show that was the 14th was supposed to be an experiment, right? It was supposed to be our test show.
Okay. The one with the C word?
Yes. The C word show on that Friday was just kind of, we put it out there as an experiment. We were testing out the equipment and the system. And my recollection is we just sort of did it to sort of get all the bugs out. And then the Monday, today, 10 years ago, that's when we sort of went, hey, we're starting this for real. And okay. Was I talking to you on this about this when I said, you know, how naive we were thinking that you had to do it every day? Now, you and I had this conversation. Like, we didn't know until years later that most podcasts were only up once a week.
Yeah, but remember, there was more to that strategy.
No, I know there was a strategy to it.
Yeah.
And the guy that we were, the guy that we were sort of modeling our model after, can you model a model? Was the guy in Chicago who was doing it every day.
Right. Steve Dahl.
Steve Dahl, exactly.
Steve Dahl. Yeah, that was a great story, too, when I went to Chicago and met with his producer to get some ideas. We went in a bar. They said, hey, would you like a drink? And he wasn't a beer drinker. He ordered scotch. And then the bill came, and each shot was like $41.
$41 US. I'm completely, and I'm not even kidding you. You went to Chicago?
Delise and I had never been to Chicago.
Okay.
Right? So then, Steve Dahl was doing that show, and I had some correspondence with his...
Right.
With his producer.
I'm sorry, you confused me. You didn't go to Chicago specifically for that. You went for a trip.
Here's what happened. So I was back and forth with this producer asking some questions on our behalf. It just so happened that I had made contact with him. And then I said to you, you know, Delise and I have always wanted to go to Chicago. Maybe we'll go this summer. And while I'm there, maybe I can talk to these guys.
Okay.
So that's how it came down. And then I met him one afternoon. We went in this bar and I thought we'll have a couple of beers. So he said, I'm not a beer drinker. I prefer scotch. I said, fine. Okay. Go crazy. And he had, I don't know, two or three scotch. And then the bill came. And I remember looking down at it thinking, what? Oh, they gave me the wrong bill. And then the scotch he had ordered was like $41 a shot, which I thought was a bit much. But anyway.
And did we pay for that, or expense? Did we put that through the Humble and Fred machine?
Well, I don't know. We didn't have an income.
Well, I was just going to say, that was months before we had a machine.
But I just sort of wrote it off as a learning experience, and he helped, but
yeah,
it was, just one of those stories.
Well, if that was a learning experience, why did we buy $400 risotto a couple of years later?
Again, that was a blind purchase.
I know. Well, anyway, today is the day that it all started for real. 10 years ago, although it wasn't the 18th of October at the time, that Monday in 2011 was the 17th of October, and it all began with this.
The following episode of the Humble and Fred Show is brought to you by the Chamber Plant, Bodog,
the Retirement Sherpa, Health Gauge, Gig Sky, and Doer. Presenters, the presenting sponsor of the Humble and Fred 10th anniversary show, which happened last Thursday night and was grand. We really, really enjoyed it.
It was fantastic. Welcome, everyone. Yeah, it was a fantastic. We're happy to be here. I mentioned to you before we started recording, and this is only my feeling. Maybe it wasn't yours. I thought that the show was amazing. We didn't really have a chance to really just stop down and reflect and, you know, tell that Chicago story. Talk about the, you know, some of the things that summer. I'm not sure if I shared this with you, but lots of memories came up on Facebook the last 2 or 3 weeks. Pictures of you and I hanging soundproofing panels in our studio. I remember, and I'm, you know, obviously not the handiest person, but, you know, we did it together. We made those. First of all, we made those soundproofing panels that are now on the other side of where I am, you know, sort of like this. Yeah, we made them together. We hung them together. There's a couple of shots of you and I up on a ladder hanging these soundproofing panels with piano wire, whatever that thin wire is. Like, it really was a fun project that at the time we could have never imagined this is where we'd be 10 years later on the beginning of day one, year 11 of doing this.
Yeah, because you talk about doing the show every day. Part of that strategy was, let's be disciplined. Let's go to work every day to have that mindset. And if we do that, we'll probably get hired by a radio station, or hopefully get hired by a radio station. And, you know, over the past 10 years, there was a couple of radio station situations, you know, with K-Rock in Kingston and Funny 820. But this still remained the focus, the podcast. But, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Say we had been hired by, say, another major market radio station.
Okay.
And then, say, given up the podcast because the so-called original strategy sort of panned out. We probably would have been long fired by now, right?
Probably. I mean, the statistically, the probability would be that we would have gotten hired like we did at K-Rock. We would have done it for a couple years. And then we would have been like, okay, well, now what do we do?
Yeah, like, and maybe through no fault of our own, but, you know, there's been a lot of belt tightening in the industry. And I, just from that standpoint, say they had revamped The Edge and they wanted to make it for older people, some, you know, classic alternative or something, and they hired us to do the morning show, say, 8-9 years ago. Well, since then, given what's happened to the business, we probably would have ended up out of a job anyway. Would we have gone back to podcasting, or would I be working at Leon's and you would be a golf pro?
Well, that'd be cool, too, because on my way home from the course, after teaching for 10 hours, I'd stop in at Leon's, see you in your short-sleeved dress shirt with your name tag that said F. Patterson. And I'd come over and go, F you, Patterson! Hey, speaking of The Edge, where we used to work for many years, and I totally am on board with what you just said, because, actually, forget The Edge for a second, because through the K-Rock, you know, period, and through the Sirius XM 5 years, and through the couple years of radio supplying the show to Bell stations, through it all, we just kept doing the podcast. Maybe because we thought, and I remember us having discussions about the idea that to start it up again would be the energy to sort of redo what we did. So we might as well just keep it going. Maybe in case it doesn't work out in radio.
Because when we were at K-Rock, we did a three and a half hour radio show, and then stopped down, took a breath, and then did a 90 minute podcast.
Yeah, we started at K-Rock from six. We did K-Rock 6 to 9.
Okay.
And then hit record on the podcast and did another hour. And what we did is we took some of the highlights.
Oh, okay. Right.
We had a bit of a thing going there for a while. For whatever months we did the radio show and the podcast, we took highlights from our podcast, played them the next day on the radio show, took a few highlights from the radio show and played them on the podcast. And in those days, the podcast was minimum a couple hours long, I think. Speaking of The Edge, the nice people there at Chorus, I guess, is it Chorus still?
Yes.
They, whoever is running their Twitter feed, somebody posted a picture of our Bell phone cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's sweet. And the Edge, somebody else, The Edge retweeted it. Here, I'll share this with everyone. You see that there?
Oh, yeah.
So there's you and I. And I could get to The Edge Twitter feed, but I don't want to. I was not surprised, but I guess I was a little surprised that they referenced us on their feed.
Well, you know what? That's, well, I guess it's classy, but how is that any different than sports teams recognizing their veterans?
No, I know.
You know, their history.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a big part of the history of that station. Pete and Geets, Humble and Fred, Dean Blundell. It's like almost like a sports team. That is your roster of veterans. Why wouldn't you acknowledge them?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, why aren't our right sweaters thing. Hanging in the lobby of Chorus Key?
Well, you say that, but they have a wall of fame of which there is some Humble and Fred stuff up.
Is there?
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know. I forget. But there's a big, like a wall of fame area, and there's all sorts of plaques and stuff, and there's some stuff there that acknowledges us.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That made me feel good.
Yeah. That's just the way I look at it. You know, Dean left under sort of controversial circumstances, but still, he was there. He was a major player there. And, you know, you and I left the way we did. And we were major players. And why not acknowledge it? Hey, this is our history.
Yeah, well, they acknowledged us on social media this past weekend.
Nice.
We would like to acknowledge many of the people that have sent us well wishes. And to that end, we have this cheesy bit.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Humble down trim.
Hi, guys.
Beep, beep, beep.
Beep, beep. All right, well, we got a lot of them. You know, we can read parts of some of them. I just thought it might be nice for us to acknowledge all the well wishes, because on Thursday night, and Boone just, you know, he nailed it, but it was you know, there wasn't a whole lot of time for in between, and I thought maybe today we would take some of that time. We'll start with, I think, do you have the email attachment?
Yep.
The first one should be Colin Duff?
Yes.
All right.
Hi, guys. Wanted to say thanks for 10 great years. And
hi, guys.
Sorry.
And hoping you'll still be at it for the 20th. Thought you'd be interested in this great article in the New Yorker that puts a lot of what you were discussing about Paul McCartney into context. And then he puts the link to the New Yorker magazine. By the way, McCartney has recently written some endearing children's books based on a magical grandfather whose grandkids call him Grand Dude. Illustrated by a Toronto artist. So thank you very much. This might be fun for Johnny Golfshot, that book. Wishing you all the best. Colin in Kyoto.
Kyoto, Japan, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I like, so Johnny Golfshot.
Mm-hmm.
Is he more interested now in golf than he is in hockey or basketball or the same?
I was there yesterday, Howard, and inside the golf net that he would hit into is now a hockey net. And he was taking shots, hockey shots, because hockey has started. He's been on the ice. So
yeah, of course.
There must have been 10 pucks there on a big piece of wood, and he's just slapping them into the to the net.
So. Good for him.
By the way, sent to me by Buddy Darren on the subject of the Beatles. You might want to check it out on Spotify. It's called the Beatles Studio Jams.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's studio sessions of them doing songs that we all know, of course, and just the banter before and after and horsing around during them.
Oh, yeah, the Beatles Studio Jams.
Yeah, cool. Check it out.
Checking. Speaking of the Beatles, that Peter Jackson documentary is coming out in November.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think on Disney. Is it not Disney?
You know, I think so.
Yeah. It's a three-part documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Disney, but I would get it to watch this. Fortunately, there's other methods.
It's, I got in bed the other night and listened to the studio jams, pretty much the whole thing. And it just makes your mind run wild. The typical Beatles stuff we've talked about, these fabulous songs. And then you think of their age.
Yeah.
And then them just in that studio and just a continuous fountain of quality just coming out of these
kids.
Like, it's just unbelievable when you think about it.
What's most unbelievable is, and we've said this before, is that they wrote 300 songs by the time they were 30 years old. Here's a taste of some of the studio jams. I got a feeling
deep inside. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is called I've Got a Feeling, Take 10. Different feel to it, for sure.
Well, yeah, a lot of the songs you can tell they're just in the working stages.
Yeah.
They're going through them. I guess they go through them obviously many times and then make adjustments. And just fascinating to think you're listening to this, these wonderful songs, these guys are brilliant. And it's over 50 years ago what you're listening to.
No, exactly. I'm going to check it out. Also, speaking of music, I had planned to talk about this. Brand new Adele. I'm not sure if you're an Adele fan. I am. I think she's amazing. And I've got no problem. I got no problem with her losing weight. I know some people were quite upset about it.
There ain't no gold in this river.
This is her newest song. It's called Easy on Me. And the only criticism I've read about it is that, you know, it's not really a hit in the tradition of Rolling in the Deep and Someone Like You and such, but it's still a great song. Have you heard it yet?
No.
This is your first listening?
Yes. This woman gives me shivers. You know, she's a special. You know, she's one of the special ones.
Oh, yeah.
She's over here in the category with the special ones.
She's in that Best of Us special category. So the way I read it in the Lefsetz letter, and the way he put it, he said, this is a great song. It's an album track, but it's a great song, meaning in the parlance of radio, it's not like the first thing that you release. I disagree. I don't care if it's a hit or I don't think a hit. Obviously, I'm not a radio guy anymore, so I don't think hits matter the way they used to.
I was just going to say that. They don't. You can listen to that at your leisure as many times as you want. On your phone, in your hand, no matter where you are. So there's a whole different spin on what's a hit. It's all about how you receive it, right?
I mean, for our friends that are still in the radio business, hits are important to them because they're trying to get people to listen to, you know, CHFI and Chum FM and all that stuff for longer. But for the rest of us that don't use radio that way anymore, if you like Adele, you're going to like this song. I listened to it. This is my, you know, second and a half listening. You know, it's decent.
You know, that's a game we should play one day. Go down all your favorite bands, your favorite artists, and the favorite songs by them. Were they hits? Because I know in most cases it wasn't for me.
Well, that's an interesting game, Frederick. The reason I pause is because a lot of music that I started off in my career playing, they were just hits. I only ever played the hits. For the first 4 years I was a radio announcer, I only played top 40 music. Then I got a job at an FM station and started to appreciate that there were other tracks on the album.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, to this day, I mean, look back at artists and those artists whose hits you played at the beginning. I mean, now Howard Glassman, 60, what are you? 62?
61.
61. All those artists, are your favorite songs by those artists now? Were they the hits, or are they the hits? But again, that's for another day. For another day.
Just before we get back to your emails, what's interesting about Easy on Me, that's the new Adele single, and it's out, I think this is the third day it's been out, or maybe the fourth day, has been streamed 40 million times, which seems like a lot, except when you compare it. When you compare it to this song, and this isn't even the most streamed song, it's that Hello song, only by about 100,000 streams. This has been streamed 1,108,905,962 times. Yeah. And just adding up the top 10 Adele streams here on Spotify, it's, I don't know, it's close to 8 billion, 9 billion, I don't know.
But anyway. I get it. This is an amazing song.
Yeah.
Is it, I'm not even going to, well, is it a chick song? I think everybody can identify with it, but it's a brilliant song.
I don't think we're allowed to make that distinction anymore, and I, you know what?
You can't say chick flick anymore.
I'm sorry, I'm way more evolved than that. Now I know what you mean, though. I never really thought of her as a female-oriented artist. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there are entire radio stations and formats built around music for women. I'm just going to tell you, and maybe that's not so progressive, but, you know, this market has long been the AC capital of Canada. That's adult contemporary, which is skewed mainly female. And I think maybe when Adele first broke, she was a female-oriented artist, but I think she's, you know, universal now, as you alluded to.
Well, the thing about this song, a guy could sing it and it would apply, but she sang it, so you sort of think it's through the eyes or the emotions of a woman.
Right.
That's all. But
and for the record, I thought she was attractive at whatever weight, you know, she wants to carry. Always thought she was beautiful. All right, let's move on to this. This is a quick note from Mike Schuster, a buddy of mine, buddy of ours, who is a aviation guy, the chief aviation instructor out in Kitchener. I cut off his email, so I don't have the exact the name of his company, but look him up. He says, gentlemen, congratulations on the 10th anniversary of your podcast. There's something uniquely rewarding about working for yourself, and I'm glad that you've both found success in it. From Mike Schuster. Why don't you continue with Brent Atkinson?
Hi, guys. Looking forward to hearing tonight's 10-year anniversary special. I understand that you guys are going to be together in person live for the first time in almost 2 years. I realize that you ended this segment, but I think it would be amazing if, for just this once, you could sing along together with the Dan Duran Weatherman piano jingle. If your mic craps out, you can give it some 1940s pizzazz. Love the show, and here's to many more years of Hummel and Fred radio. Brent from Kitchener. Well, thank you for listening. Of course, you wrote this beforehand, and as it turned out, I wasn't in the studio, and maybe at some point we can sing the song.
Yeah, for sure, and I think this is what he's talking about. Yeah, I forgot, and this is how old I'm getting, because this Dan Duran weather thing.
Dan Duran weather.
You know, which I think I started singing, you know, I was doing the Dan Duran weather, right. Dan Duran. I forgot we even did it. I'm telling you the truth. I forgot we even did that bit. Forgot completely about it. Where's the original one? See, I've got all the I've got all the paint versions of them. Anyway, I just forgot we had done completely. Brent forgot we did that bit. So
hi guys.
There you go.
Hi guys.
This is a bit Salvatore Nocitra. Sal, who wrote us hundreds of emails over the years. He says, wow, guys, 10 years just like that. My first email to you was actually on the 24th of October, 2011. And he went on to share with us the entire text of that first email. And it had to do with one of the very early bits of you being upset or curious about a neighbor who was always parking on your street in front of your house or something.
Yeah, I remember that bit.
It
was weird.
So that was the email that that Sal sent us on that very first email. He mentioned that. He says, congrats on one hell of a ride, boys. Here's to the next 10. Suck on it. And thank you, Sal. Who's next, Freddie P?
Actually, it's Suck It On It.
Oh, Sucking On It. Sorry, I apologize. Yeah,
he wrote Suck On It. It's actually Suck It On It.
Of course.
So come on,
course.
Sal. Let's see. You know, and that bit about the neighbors parking in front of my house, that morphed into the sort of A&W bit, too, where he owns four A&W.
Never A&W gave you a pass.
Has never given me a certificate, like a coupon for a free Mama Burger.
If I don't know what your fast food intake is, but if I offered you a Harvey's Burger, a McDonald's, you know, a Big Mac or Quarter Pounder, or an A&W, you know, offering, which would you take?
Well, how come you didn't say Wendy's?
Okay, Wendy's too, but I didn't think of Wendy's.
Maybe Wendy's.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I sort of, I don't know. They all make me feel odd.
Yeah. I was, I didn't tell you this because I forgot as well. I was in Kingston for that golf tournament last month. Mm-hmm. And I got hungry late at night. I think maybe I've tried to forget this, but I got hungry and I went out and I got a Quarter Pounder, had my first McDonald's food easily in a decade.
Yes.
And you know what? It was pretty good. I don't know what I thought it was going to do to me, but it didn't make me feel bad. I actually enjoyed it.
Well, my problem is they all taste good in my mouth. They just don't make me feel well.
The day I closed
my trailer, I was busy all day and only had a little bit of granola in the morning. And then I'm driving home and it's about 2:30 and I'm starving. Mm. I enter Peterborough and I thought, you know, I'll go to Wendy's. You know what? I'm going to treat myself to a Wendy's burger. And the lineup was so horrendous that I just went on by. And then over there, I noticed a DQ. You know, they sell burgers and stuff.
Yeah, the Brazier Burger is pretty good.
There was nobody there, and I looked up, and I thought, it looks the same to me. So I ordered one of their double burgers or something, and for the rest of the day, I was off. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. I ate it, and it was good, and then later, I don't know what the feeling is. Is it MSG, or what do they put in that stuff or something? I just don't know what it is, but...
Well, I don't eat it very often, and that really wasn't... I'm not kidding you. My kids would have been kids the last time I had McDonald's food. It didn't make me feel bad. I don't think I mean, again, I'm not going to run out and have it again, but it was pretty good. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. These guys know what they're doing.
I can get ground beef and make my own burgers and eat them, and I'm fine.
Yeah, whatever they're doing, you might be right. Maybe it's MSG. I don't know.
Hi, guys.
All right.
Stop.
Hi, guys.
Okay. Where are we now? That was Sal.
Mike Parker.
Outstanding. Is that you or me? I lost track. Well, go.
Outstanding show, gentlemen. Tuned in for the majority of the live feed and caught the half hour I missed later. Joys of podcast. Listen on demand. Special shout out to Mike Boone for the clips. Very much This Is Your Life, or as Humble put it, a not quite dead yet eulogy. Laugh out loud. vibe. Love hearing voices from the past and present, contributors to the Humble and Fred experience. Looking forward to many, many years of shows and hopefully in-person events for a drinky poo in the future. Cheers, Mike, Hundy P, Parker.
Yeah, I forgot the drink. Drinky poo was a big part of it. Hundy P was a big part of it. Do you remember? It's funny that if you're a 100%er, you know where the term Hundy P came from. If you're not, you know, it's interesting because it was a friend of my brother's. I was in Mexico. And I went golfing with him. He's a great guy. And this was, the reason I hesitated is I was trying to remember, it was pretty early on in the 10 years of podcasting, because we were referring to our listeners as 100%ers, people that had heard every podcast. And in those days, when you've only done 20 or 30 of them, you know, you can hear every one of them. And anyway, so this guy kept saying, I'd say, how far is it? And instead of saying 130 yards, he kept saying a hundy 30, or kept referring to 100 as a hundy, which is right. Why I came back and we started calling them hundy peas, 100%ers.
Yeah.
I don't have time to tell you where drinky poo came from, but it was a neighbor of mine who said drinky poo, and then he died. All right. Here's one. Speaking of voices.
Hi, guys.
They are humble down trend.
So the way it was, Mike Boone started somewhere in late summer or midsummer, I should say, sent out approximately 100 requests for people to give us well wishes and record those, you know, those bits, which was great. Now, here's somebody who didn't come through, but he did acknowledge that he was asked, and this is from Steve Anthony, just says, I fucking suck. Steve says, I was really wanting to do this. It fell through the cracks. So sorry. And that's from the great Steve Anthony.
Well, Steve's busy these days running his bed and breakfast out there in Prince Edward County, you know.
Yeah.
Making, you know, changing beds, bedspreads, and cleaning washrooms and cooking breakfast for the people that come through.
How does that work exactly? When you come downstairs in the morning, there's Steve with your toast. Is that how it works?
Yeah. You pay a premium for that.
And can you pay more not to have Steve give you your toast?
It's funny. Neighbor John just sold his house. Sad, sad, sad times. But he was bugging me with the original listing. He said, I hope you don't mind. He said, I put at the bottom that if you buy this house, you can be the neighbor of Freddie P.
you get to have a man bath with Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I thought that was funny. So basically, yeah. So if you, not only are you going to a bed and breakfast in Prince Edward County, you're going to Steve Anthony. So yeah. The guy that used to be the host of Breakfast TV or whatever they called that back then, actually serves you breakfast.
That's right. Yeah, he's Steve Anthony's bed and breakfast TV. He sits there. He does the whole show at the table. All right, we still have a couple more to go.
J&D Nanny. These are the Baldwin sisters, as we've referred to them. Hi, guys. Great 10th.
Yeah, they're the ones, Freddie, that did this for us.
Yes.
You can see that, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Okay. Very nice.
Like an old Humble and Fred stock.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Looks cool.
Hi, guys. Great 10th anniversary show. Toronto Mike did a great job in coordinating all of those wonderful tributes. Lovely to hear them as you guys stroll down memory lane. Although the strolling is probably a little slower these days. Laugh out loud. LOL. What would we do without the LOL, Howard?
No, I don't know.
We're so glad you enjoyed the certificates, too, and we appreciated the surprise shout out. Very special. Gosh, especially right after the mayor's tribute. Laugh out loud.
Lol.
Rock on, guys. J&D Nanny, a.k.a. the Baldwin sisters.
Hi, guys.
Okay, this last one actually, there's a couple more, but they're on Facebook. This is from Joe Harris, who is a longtime listener since we started on XM. You know, I was having this conversation with somebody recently about those years, the 5 years we were on satellite radio. I still got excited. And I'd been in radio at that point, probably, I guess it was 35 years. And I was still, I thought it was cool I think you did too. That we were getting American listeners who had never heard of us, had no idea, you know, who we were, that caught on to our show. He says, I started listening on Sirius. I have an hour commute to work, so I only caught half of the show till you left Sirius. I almost dropped my subscription because of it. Anyway, after you left there, I started downloading the podcast and have been a hundy pee ever since. Living in North Carolina, Fred. There's your North Carolina hookup. It's been a treat to learn more about Canada and following the show. It's always entertaining for me. Keep it up and thanks for the continued entertainment. And then he goes on to throw some troubleshooting information at me. And I've sent this to Dan Joe to see about the microphones. And for the most part, you know, I haven't really heard the microphone degrade. There was a little, you know, glitch on Thursday, but so far, we've replaced our board, and it seems to be fine. If you want to email us, you can. It's humbleandfred at humbleandfredradio.com. There were approximately, close to 400 comments on the live stream on Facebook. And I thought I would just read one because it's a friend of ours' wife, who is also a friend of ours. Says, hi guys, congratulations, an amazing show last night. Fred and I both enjoyed it. It's Fred Ball's wife, Nancy. She said, I enjoyed it, most notably Dan ordering the pizza. Oh, Dan, that was great, as with so many other performances. Stephen Page, we were literally blown away. Once again, thank you so much for all the work it takes to put together such a great podcast. You keep us all laughing.
And I had told you that prior to the anniversary show, Fred Ball asked if he could be part of it, but Boone had sort of put the lineup together already, so I promised Fred that he could have his own special appearance on another show, and maybe we can do that this week.
No, I agree.
You know what?
Why not?
You know, he's one of, since day one, that sweet boy sitting up there in Wasega Beach, a loyal, loyal follower.
100%, and
Hundy percent.
All right, this portion of the program, as was the 10th anniversary broadcast, is brought to you by Doer. I wore these. By the way, I've got another pair of pants for you and Phil. But I got these new pants from Doer. I'm going to tell you, when you see me in person, they're very hip. They've got zippers in the front, and they've got those cuffs at the bottom of your leg. What are those called? That leg area?
Cuffs?
Wait, sure. They're narrow, but these pants are... Hang on. These pants are something else, and you can find out... find out more about Doer than I'm helping out right now. The world's most comfortable pants. I wore these things all weekend long. It's I can't describe the material, but they just look like regular pants, but they're so much more comfortable, breathable. The strength for everyday wear, but also super comfortable. It's almost like you're in your cozy pants all day long. Doer is proudly Canadian and prides itself on having a collection of natural, fiber-rich fabrics, meaning they are all organic. Most of them are from recycled alternatives. Use the promo code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order. HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off at doer.ca.
You know, I'm getting to the age where I need pants with a zipper in the back. You know, just for quick response.
Sure you do. Okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's you nice. Don't know where you're going to be and how quickly you have to.
When am I going to do her?
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, we've told you about it for years now. Get on this, chamberplan.ca. Go there, get a free quote today. If you have a small business and you want to equip your people with a benefits package, it can all be done. I mean, again, go to chamberplan.ca. There's testimonials there. The name of companies, the name of people that can look you in the eye and say, this has worked for us. It has worked for Hubble and Fred Radio. Again, spend the time today. Chamberplan.ca, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business.
There's so much going on. When we only work 4 days a week, I just have a whole pile of stuff like, oh, I got to tell Fred that, or this will be good for Monday. And then Monday comes and we do like 40 minutes of nostalgia and there's all sorts of stuff that never gets, you know, right, spoken about. I had an interesting conversation with a Leaf fan yesterday. I used you as an example of... He was telling me all of, that we were playing golf, and the conversation started about the night before the Leaf game, and I'm like, you really watch every Leaf game? He goes, oh, yeah. He says, I'm the best Leaf fan there is. I'm like, really? Guy's our age. And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, I watch every game. Every game. He said, I have a Leaf license plate. You know, wears the sweaters. And I said, I sort of used you as the template as like, I said, Fred loves the Leafs, but he doesn't really, he's no longer interested unless they get by the first round. So where are you on your Leafs journey? Are you watching them? They played a couple games already, I think.
They've played three games. They've won two. Yeah, and I really haven't, like Saturday night, I can't. I put it on for a minute. I'm, you know, I'm like you. I suffer from impatience.
Hmm.
And I sit there and it's October and I don't care. And I've said this a few times on the show. I don't care what they do. None of it matters till April now. I don't care if Austin Matthews scores 90 goals. I don't care if Mitch Marner gets 200 points. I don't care if they win 50 or 60 games this year. None of it matters until they get to the playoffs. So to me, it's just an exercise in... And, you know, Mike Boone made this point. You know, we're having Hebscher on the show at 8 o'clock to catch up with him. A very, very embarrassing situation for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League over the weekend. You know, the salary cap thing. The Leafs got caught in a cap crunch. Their backup goalie, Peter Mrazek or whatever, gets injured whatever night last week, the second game in Ottawa. Leafs are in a cap crunch. So they have to sign a university goalie to a one-day contract to get around the cap. So Saturday night, this is the National Hockey League, the premier hockey league in the world. The kid sitting on the end of the bench is the backup goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs, is a university student, 24 years old.
Was he signed for? For a day?
Yeah, for a day, and I don't even know. So, you know, they're making a big thing of it, you know, in the paper and stuff, you know, the experience of a lifetime, blah, blah, blah. But are you kidding me? Number one, it's embarrassing for the Leafs because they're so up against the cap, it's sickening.
And especially by the way, when you just give me some perspective, when you say up against the cap, does that mean they're over the cap or they're at their cap limit?
They're right at the cap limit. You can't.
Okay, so I get it. So yeah, when you say up again, they've got no more cap room.
No.
So
you got to play. You got to move players around. It's why a lot of the teams are putting their farm teams in the same town that they're playing in now, because you got to move guys around like chess pieces. Like it's
right.
Ridiculous.
So the cap, the way that works, if I understand, is that when you move a guy off the big team, it gives you cap room.
Exactly.
So that you can't have
these teams employ what they call capologists. It's so involved. The guy's job is to figure out if we have this injury, we want to do this, how do we move this guy?
It's like Jonah Hill in Moneyball. He's that guy.
Like Howard. So anyway, they find themselves in that position. Like this is the NHL. Like guys, figure that one out. At least put a Jack Campbell gets hurt Saturday night. You know, it becomes another one of those stories. You know, like the goaltender a couple of years ago that beat the Leafs.
Zamboni driver. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's just not good.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to get Mark Hebscher on here. Mark Hebscher is about to sign in. Hebsy on Sports. The guy's a longtime friend of the show. Maybe, guys, we can bandy about that as well. I mean, I guess the reason you have a capologist is so when these situations come up, There's a there's a chess move for every, you know, every thing that might, every eventuality that might happen. But you never know, man. I mean, is the reason they use the guy from the university because their AHL team or whatever, the Marlies, they didn't have anybody in town? Or,
well, he would have, what they were paying him would have put them over the cap.
Oh, I see. Because, yeah, because the cap counts for the roster you're about to ice that evening.
Right. It's $81 million or something, which is low, which is a joke, too. I mean, really, the NHL, for the premier teams, the Leafs, they're not a premier team. They're one of the strongest, the most richest teams. But they have to have more leeway, more room, you know? It's like...
Okay.
There's got to be a provision that if you're in that position, you can at least put a professional
on the ice. Yeah, exactly. There's not. I don't think the word you're looking for is. There's got to be a provision that if for some reason this happens for one game, you're allowed to ice to put a professional on the roster.
Yes.
Even if you're a few hundred thousand over the cap, because the guy in the AHL that they would bring up is only going to bruise the cap by a few hundred grand.
Exactly.
And I just came up with that phrase, bruise the cap. If that takes off, I invented it.
All right.
Mark Hebscher was in the waiting room there, and I just said, stand by. And then he was about to come on. And now, there's our Hebsy. There's our buddy. Golf fans, Rory McIlroy won yesterday for the first time in a year or so, or half a year, whatever. But he won.
I thought that, isn't it over?
Once over.
I thought the season was over.
His season started up again 4 weeks ago. There's only a 2 week.
January.
Oh. No, brother. Oh. Wrap around season.
That.
Yeah.
Well, didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, but, listen.
It's going to be feedback, though.
No, it's fine. You sound fine. Mark, it's Howard and Fred. You're on our show. Did you not know that? There he is. Hang on a second, Marky. No, the PGA Tour hasn't started in January since Nicholas was a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so the season ends in August. There's a 2 week break, and then in the fall, a lot of the young guys. It's 48 weeks a year they're playing. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Fowler had his best finish in quite some time. Finished third, but Rory McIlroy did something yesterday that it's only been done by, I think, 38 or 37 other players in PGA Tour history. He got to 20 wins. He's 32 years old. He has 20 PGA Tour wins. He has 4 majors. So he's an auto lock for the Hall of Fame. But it was just a good win. He's one of those guys that when he is...
Yes?
So we can hear you, Mark. Mark. Hi,
there's Mark. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Mark's girlfriend.
We can hear your conversation with your woman.
Okay.
Just hang on 1 second. Just mute yourself. Oh, no, you don't have to. Anyways, Mark.
Yes.
What was my point about McIlroy? Oh, yeah, McIlroy is one of the guys in golf that when he is playing at his best, there's nobody can beat him. He doesn't play at his best like at the rate he used to, but when he's at his best, he's the best player in the game. So it was fun watching him win yesterday. Morris Satowski. There was a the only Morris Satowski and Corey Pavin. What do they have in common? Oh, and Bruce Fleischer. What do those three golfers have in common, Hebscher?
Are those the only three Jewish golfers you can think of?
2.5 Jews. Do you know why I say that? Do you know why? Because Corey Pavin became a born again.
Oh, so he doesn't count.
And he's, I remember my ex-mother-in-law, I remember her saying this, I'm no longer cheering for him. He's given up the tribe.
Yeah, well, my mom did that with a pitcher named Chuck Hartenstein with the Blue Jays, who just passed away recently. She was convinced he was Jewish, and she wanted me to go ask him. And I actually went into the Blue Jays locker room. You know, how do you have a conversation like this? Hey, how was your fastball today? By the way, are you Jewish? And he looked at me, he said, what? And I said, are you Jewish? He goes, no. And I went to my mom, I said, he's not Jewish. And she said, I'm not rooting for him anymore.
Well, this isn't the only thing we're going to talk about, but it's something in the show notes today. By the way, I've written an article for that CJN. I wrote that, Freddie, that article I sent you about growing up Jewish in Moose Jaw. But so yeah, Morris Italski.
Maybe I should write an article working with a Jew for 31 years.
Yeah. Huh? Okay. I mean, friends, you are partly Jewish.
Now, well, you could do that. Like, you could do a thing like the kids in the hall. These are the Jews I know. These are the Jews I know. Morris Italski, I think, was Jewish. Corey Pavin was born again and then stopped being Jewish. And Bruce Fleischer, who just passed away recently, was the other only other. Actually, you know who's a Jewish guy now on the tour that most people don't know? Max Homa.
What do you mean most people don't know?
I don't know if a lot of people know he's Jewish.
Max. Right off the bat, you got to figure this out.
I know you and I.
Right?
You and I would know.
But Howard, you say that. That doesn't even enter my mind. It's weird.
Of course, like, not.
All the guys you mentioned, never ever in my life for one second have I thought, oh, that's the Jewish guy, or he's one of the Jewish guys. It's not even.
No, but why would it, though, Fred?
No, exactly. Why would it? Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, there are names that sound Jewish, but again, not even that really alerts me.
Well, who's the most famous? Because the reason we're talking about it is one of the articles Mark has written. Mark Hebscher, by the way, everyone. And thank you for your kind words on our anniversary show.
Yes.
You know, we always speak very fondly of you. I actually had a conversation about you away from the show this weekend with my partner, girlfriend. I don't even know what we call these people anymore.
Yeah, what do you call? You see, and I mean,
I think we're, you know, here's the thing. Once you get past 60, can you call them girlfriends? It sounds so immature.
Lady friend, does that sound better?
Well, I did lady friend, and no one wants to hear that again.
No one wants your lady friend.
But I had
my boyfriend. I mean, but
yeah, anyway, I had a conversation about you being one of the few people. We were talking about people that have come through our studio. I said, Mark Hebscher and Liz West were really one of the first people that had ever sort of taken this seriously. And now, of course, you endure to this very day with Hebsy on Sports and other things that you're doing. But I always thought it was cool that you actually came through the door and did what you said you were going to do, which is do the show all the time.
Yeah, we did 250 shows at your studios, you know, our second home. But I remember you telling me at first going, there's no way you're going to be able to do this 5 days a week. And Liz and I were like, oh, we did a television show 5 days a week. This is no problem at all. And there was no way. No. And I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you do it every day, honestly.
Well, because we're not very good to start with. So, I mean, we have no standard. Our standards are very low.
Howard, let's be honest, though. It's an obligation. I mean, when you successfully sell the show, and you sell it based on how many episodes a week, you got to do it. You can't say, oh, we're going to take this time off or that time, or, oh, let's wait 2 weeks, because you have an obligation to sponsors. So it's a nice situation to be in.
Yeah,
you
know, we put ourselves,
sometimes, you know, you're having a really good day, or you're just not as good, or your partner is better. A lot of times I would, like Liz was having a great day, had good stories, whatever it was, and I would just say, you know what, she's way better than me today. I'm going to let her take the ball and run with it. Maybe nod or play along. There's a lot of times where that happens, you know, but when you've got your own show, like when I do my own thing, it's like, you know, and I work with Toronto Mike, of course, but I have to come up with the topics, what I want to talk about, that type of thing. And some, you know, maybe people listening are going, well, who cares if Morris Adelsky was Jewish? But I think there's more people going, that's fascinating.
Well,
I would never think that way.
I want to finish before we get to the. There's a whole bunch of stuff in sports I want to talk about. Rod Black leaving, MLB playoffs, and
is he
such.
Jewish, by the way?
I think he is. Yeah, but he looked.
That's
more,
a Jewish name. For
he
sure.
looked Black. More that Jewish when he had the mustache. But you've been writing about that. You wrote an article about the greatest Jewish athletes of all time for the Canadian Jewish News. This is the paper that we're referring to.
Yeah.
In your opinion, who is that?
In my opinion, it's a woman named Ida Schnall, who I'd never heard of before, and she would have
Either
been.
Am I.
Let's put it this way:
Ida.
The Americans allowed women into the Olympics in 1912, like the other countries of the world.
Right.
She would have been the first American gold medalist. She would have won in diving. She was the greatest diver in the world. They called it fancy diving in those days. It was like a platform dive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She would dive from like 50 feet. Oh, and she also was a baseball player. Because the New York Giants baseball team, led by John McGraw, wanted to draw more Jewish patrons to the games, to their games at the Polo Grounds, and wanted more Jews interested in this new game of baseball so they could sell more tickets and make more money, right? And so John McGraw met Ida Schnall at some point and said, listen, if you really like baseball, and she was a very good player, let's organize a team, call them the New York Female Giants. And they did, and very popular and very successful. But there was just every sport she entered, every race, whatever it was, she was way better than anyone else.
Okay, let's talk one somebody that we may have heard of. Was Cy Young Jewish?
No.
Okay, wasn't there a Jewish pitcher that refused to... Freddie, who are you thinking?
Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax. That's who I was thinking of.
Yes, Sandy Koufax.
And Hank Greenberg.
Is Jewish.
Hank Greenberg.
Hank Greenberg was the first Jewish superstar because in the 30s, when he played for the Detroit Tigers, he threatened Babe Ruth's home run records.
Right.
Universal. So he would have been the first, where people went, yep, that guy's Jewish.
And didn't Sandy Koufax famously refuse to pitch on a Friday?
Yeah, I don't think, it wasn't a Friday. No, it was Yom Kippur.
Oh, okay. It was a holiday. Yeah, okay.
Wasn't it during the World Series, wasn't it?
Game one of the World Series.
Wow.
In 1965. And that's where I think a lot of Jewish baby boomers like me, born in the 50s, for example, would have said, wow, if Sandy Koufax can wear his Judaism proudly and say, I'm not going, I'll pitch tomorrow, but this is the one day I don't pitch, or... that I think a lot of people went, wait a second, you can't do that. That's never been done before. But the Jewish people went, wow, that we're so proud of Sandy Koufax as a race, I guess, or as a tribe. Someone's that popular and that successful that they can do that without fear of recrimination or.
Sure.
That was amazing to me as a little boy. Like, wow, he's not pitching. Why? Because he's hurt? No, because he's taking the Jewish high holiday.
What about hockey players? Who would be the most famous Jewish hockey player?
The most famous Jewish hockey
player? Or most successful?
Wasn't Matthew Schneider?
Camilleri was pretty good.
Zach Hyman, currently?
Zach Hyman's on his way, maybe, to becoming the greatest Jewish hockey player ever.
Hyman!
Playing with Hyman.
Who knew?
Hyman, who knew?
Playing with Connor McDavid, he's in a pretty good position right now. $5 million, $6 million a year playing with Connor McDavid.
Now, do you think this conversation is like McDavid goes, geez, you're the greatest Jewish left winger I've ever played?
That's right.
If
you want to read this article, just go to cjn.ca online and look for Mark Hebscher.
One other thing Mark Spitz, very famous Jewish athlete.
Yes.
Huh?
Very famous.
Very famous. Although I think that's a bit unfair because all Jewish people have indoor pools, don't they?
Yes, so we do. He did have an unfair advantage.
Yeah. You all with your indoor pools.
He was actually lucky, very lucky, because he had won his gold medals in Munich prior to the Munich massacre.
Yeah.
I believe he had left. He had left Munich by then or was on his way out.
Right.
When it happened. It would have been very interesting, even... scarier, I guess.
Hey, Mark, do me a quick favor if you can. Just turn your mic up a little bit, about 5%, because you're getting kind of lost here. We got a lot of your microphone. If you can just pump it up a bit, just a tiny bit.
How do I do that?
I don't know. Let's talk a little bit about baseball.
Talk louder.
Yeah, talk.
Oh, okay, sure. I can do that.
Yeah, I know you can. So let's leave the Jewish athletes alone. Fred, maybe we can talk a little Bodog while we're on this subject, but the Major League Baseball playoffs are on, and who's playing, what's going on, and where do we stand?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, well, the Dodgers lost twice in a row to the Braves, and so Atlanta's up 2-0 in that series, but they were last year, too. They were up 2-0 and 3-1 on the Dodgers, and then the Dodgers came back, so... 2-0 is not an insurmountable lead, but it's the way they're winning them in their last at-bats, which they, by the way, they call walk-offs now. For years, it was like, oh, it was last at-bat, but somebody came up with the expression walk-off, a walk-off single, a walk-off bases-loaded walk, a walk-off home run.
And what does that indicate? It means, like, the game's over? As soon as that hit happens, this game's over?
Right. And a walk-off can only take place in the bottom of an inning.
Right.
So two walk-offs in a row. And in the other series, it's Houston-Boston, and it's like they're 1-1 in that series. Like, Boston beat them. They were up 9-0 the other day. They won 9-5. And Houston won the game before. I hate both teams. Like, I can't stand Boston.
So do I.
Watch the game.
You know, Mark, I'm in the same... I haven't watched a lot because I'm a bit aggravated by it all. Imagine that, Howard.
It's not like you.
No, like the Atlanta Braves. Look at that. They didn't have a record as good as the Toronto Blue Jays, and their general manager is Alex Anthopoulos, who was with the Jays and turned them around. And so to see the Braves doing that, when really they may not be as good as the Blue Jays were, who didn't even make the playoffs. And I'm the same way. I've had enough of the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros with their history of cheating. There's not a lot drawing me into any of that right now.
I'm a little curious, gentlemen, that they're still calling that Atlanta team the Braves.
They're still doing the chop, too, the tomahawk chop.
Yeah, and are they? Doing,
and the song. Whoa.
Yeah. I know the song.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. The war chant, right? That's the seminal war chant.
And it's so regional in the States, though, right? There's areas that more progressive, like Washington, D.C., they dump the Redskins. In Georgia, they don't give a shit what anybody thinks. That's their team and that's their name. Yeah. Shut up.
There's also a lot of hypocrisy there. There have been a couple of politicians, and this is what I love about the internet. A couple of politicians have gone out and said, you know, we won't stand for this, you know, Native Americans shouldn't, be subjected to this, ridicule and team sports names. And then they find out that particular politician, the school that they went to, were the Fighting Sioux. Wore headdresses and stuff like, and she was a cheerleader on that team. Yeah. So they called this politician out saying, come on.
The whole thing should be called the United States of Hypocrisy, because, you know, there's Joe Manchin, you know, who's, you know, made $1 bazillion off fossil fuels. You know, now he's voting against a progressive bill. Hold your thoughts there. Fred, why don't we talk, while we're talking to our man Hebsey on sports here, why don't you tell us what's going on with the odds when it comes to Major League Baseball?
Okay, hold on, Howie. Yeah, I gotta call that up.
Well, I'll play you some We Are the Champions while we're... By the way, Mark Hebsher today, the Gig Sky guest of the day. In a second, I'll tell you how Gig Sky can make your travel plans easier, and how you can fly and use data at the same time. First, here's Freddie for our friends at Bodog.
What is today? What is the actual date today?
The 18th of October.
Well, we have the Astros and Red Sox tonight, and the Red Sox favored. Although the Astros only pay $103 to win. Okay, the over-under on that game is 9 runs. So again, the Boston Red Sox at home, I believe, are favored. And do you want the Monday Nighter?
Do it all, my friend.
Okay, and this is the posting on Bodog. Our beloved Buffalo Bills, a 6.5-point favorite over the Tennessee Titans. All right, the Titans pay $230 to win. So the Bills heavily favored in that game. They would increase their record, to 5-1? The Buffalo Bills might be the best team in the NFL this year, and it gives me shivers to even think about it.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, yeah, it does. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Okay, bodog.eu/sports is where to go to wager, and it can be fun.
All right, my friends, thank you very much. The Gig Sky guest of the day, as I mentioned, is Mark Hebsher. And what Mark would like you to know is that Gig Sky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com, Aero Mobile. gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of partner airlines. Gig Sky available in 190 countries. Whether you're off to the tropics, heading to Europa, or just plan to make your way down south, now that we can start driving there again in a couple weeks, you'll need mobile data to get you and keep you connected. Download the app, Gig Sky app, for Android or iOS, and get affordable rates and data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. And right now, when you do it, enter the code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com for more information. I've had an occasion over the last year or two to do some stuff with Rod Black. Actually, this is a weird confluence of personalities. Today, Freddie and I are going to do Joe Tilley's sports show. He does this thing online. And in the last couple of summers, myself and Rod Black have appeared on four or five of them talking about golf. So my experience of Rod's always been a positive one. And recently, this past few days, we found out that Rod Black is no longer a TSN. Your reaction, gentlemen?
Mine is I'm not surprised, and not because it's Rod Black or anyone else. Nothing would surprise me in the broadcast business today if an old white guy lost his job. wouldn't matter who, and it wouldn't matter where in broadcasting, or for that matter, other businesses.
Yeah.
It just seems to be accelerated. You know, you don't have to be 65 anymore. It doesn't really matter. You've been there 30 years. All right, here's your nice, you know, thanks for coming out. Here's a nice package. At least Rod could negotiate his exit by saying, you know, I want to do this many CFL games. I want to make sure I do a game in every CFL city before I go. I'd like, excuse me. And they, you know, they said, okay, Rod, that's, you know, you gave us some great years. That's rare. Rare. Because most guys are walked out the door.
So he's still there, so to speak?
No.
But you said he got to do those games, so that's all behind him now. Okay.
So months ago.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Ago, yes.
I didn't know. I heard this on the Toronto Mike podcast.
Well, then it must be true.
Well, he's got the pulse of the broadcasting industry in Southern Ontario.
He does. He had a relationship with Rod. He had had Rod on his show before and all that. And so, yeah. So we found out Rod, you know, told him on the show that he had negotiated this over the last few months, that he knew it was coming.
Right.
He said, look, I'd like to, can we do it this way? Which is great, you know, and
yeah,
TSN,
good for him.
I mean, look, some people, they've walked out the door. Some people, they've said, you know, we're not renewing your contract. We're not sure in a lot of cases what it was. But it seems compared to Sportsnet, TSN treats their people better.
You know, this whole hockey debacle with Rogers, you know, whatever billion it was it 5 billion for 12 years, whatever.
No, it's 5.2 million.
And the way, you know, they got to pay the NHL and they got to show the games, but the way they've stripped down their sort of intermission people and got rid of all the high priced ones and now have brought what I would assume lower priced people in, and just the whole feel and the texture, it's just not the same.
I think really what's happened here is, since, like, I'm a Leaf fan and have been my whole life, Freddie, same with you. I don't really care what happens with other teams or around the league, for example, but I am interested in my team. But if every night it's a different broadcast crew doing my team's game, I was like, wait a second, Joe Bone and Jim Ralph are on the radio every game.
Right.
That's consistency.
That
when you tuned the Leaf game on, you knew Saturday nights was Bob Cole and Harry Neal, and midweek games were Jim Houston, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now flip a coin and add, instead of saying, oh, there's Cherry and McLean, or Dave Hodge and Dick Beddoes or whoever, you're going, I don't know who's on the panel tonight. I don't know who's hosting tonight. Flip a coin. And I get the feeling that they kind of go, all right, who's, you're in Ottawa doing a game here and there. Are you in the, can we get, okay, you go, you four.
Yeah, it's the same guy that does the cap work for the team as well, trying to figure out where all the pieces fit.
Yeah, on that point, quickly, Mike, or Mark, Mike?
Mike Hebscher!
the Leafs and their cap crunch this weekend and putting the college kid on the bench, don't you think that's embarrassing for the league and the Leafs? Like, seriously? You can't get around that for a night?
Humiliating. When I first heard it, and it was explained even before they got this kid from the U of T to say, look, we need a backup goaltender and we don't have cap space for Michael Hutchinson. Oh, I just thought, what? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you're that tied down by those four guys and the $40 million a year and that you can't manipulate to have an actual professional goalie as opposed to some kid from U of T who hasn't played goal in 3 years? That's not only embarrassing. What if Jack Campbell got hurt? What if Campbell got hurt and this guy came in? I mean, as if the Zamboni driver wasn't goofy enough.
Yeah, greatest story ever, the Zamboni guy.
No, I know, and they got to address that because it just makes the league look Mickey Mouse. Really, you know, I thought, if Vegas had won the Stanley Cup, that would have been
Mickey Mouse on the league, but this is even worse. But
and remember when we made when Wayne Gretzky called the New Jersey Devils a Mickey Mouse organization,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
the flack, and you can't say things like that. And then the next time they came, everybody wore mouse ears.
Oh yeah, remember the cute innocent things that used to get us outraged before?
Oh yeah,
you know, remember like the sweet innocent days.
Yes.
I am fascinated by the fact that you two fellas are into your 60s and. You know, the three of us combined are close to 200 years old, and yet you guys still hang on each year to the dream of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I got to tell you, I was saying to Freddie, I was playing golf yesterday with a huge Leaf fan like yourself. You know, a grown man with the Leaf license plates and wears the sweaters and lives and dies by every game. And I said, I just got to admire that, you know. I don't have that. I mean, I loved Boston as a kid. But I don't have, I mean, yeah, I sort of had it for Tiger, but man, it's a real tribute to you guys, in a way, I guess, that you're so loyal to this organization, and all they've done is fuck you over for so long.
Well, Howard, I got to tell you, I'm waning, because a couple of these games, when I've been flipping around or I get my phone, I'm actually hoping the Leafs lose. Because wow. I am, because the way they're structured, they cannot win. So it's almost like, you know, they had a small window, it's closed, they can't win this way. So, you know what, let's move on from this and try something else, because this ain't going to work. What do you think, Mark?
I agree, Freddie. I think what's happened, you can tell, I think, by the fact that, okay, crowds are back, yes,
mm-hmm.
but they're not coming back like, I can hardly wait to bust through the doors and pay all this money to watch the Leafs, because... Mm-hmm. We remembered last year or 2 years ago, it was like, all right, they're playing great. They're peaking at the right time. And obviously, this team is not built to win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The stench of last year's playoffs is so prevalent right now amongst Leaf fans that mm-hmm. everyone's taking a wait-and-see attitude, which means every game is not life and death. Even for your golf partner, Howard,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that tonight's game against the Rangers is not a, oh my God, this is life and death. Because we've heard this before. They could sneak into the playoffs as the worst team and then do well. Probably not. But I just think it's like, you know what? Wake me up in March.
Yeah.
Because these games mean nothing.
You know, I did say this to my buddy Ross yesterday. I said, you know, my dad was a huge Blue Jay fan, watched every single game, 160 plus games. That was his whole day was built around that. Got home from golf, made him his dinner. He was just in his chair for every game. And I guess, you know, which was great. And I suppose if you're a Leaf fan, 82 games, if you love the team and such, but it really is, it's a big loyalty card to play every night when they're, you know, not going to do anything until the end of the year. Let's talk quickly before we let you go, because Dan Duran's standing by with his news. MLB, Leafs, Raptors, I don't know, Rod Black. What's going on with the Canadian men's soccer team? What should we know?
We should know not to get too excited too soon. We may have the greatest player in the entire tournament in Alphonso Davies, but we've known that this kid is great. But that goal, you know, the other night was like against Panama was ridiculously good and highlight reel material. And it makes you think, hey, you know what? We should be able to finish in the top three, right? You know, Canada, U.S., Mexico. We should be able to. And we're looking pretty good right now. But there's a lot of games left. And, you know, to go into hostile countries, but to go into a stadium in Panama or in El Salvador or in Mexico or in Costa Rica, you're not going to get the, hey, Canada, come on, hey, you guys, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
No way. You're going to get the opposite. You're going to be abused by these fans. World Cup qualifying, this is another league entirely. This is no holds barred. And I think that is the Canadian team built for success? Yeah, they're a really good, talented team. But can they handle the pressure of playing in not just unfamiliar territory, not just hostile territory, but places that they could not dream the how difficult it will be to maintain your focus and win a soccer match?
So what's the situation?
Distractions alone might just... You know, I'm afraid to get shot, or like, what if people are throwing stuff at you and you're going, you know, I love my country, but I'm not going to break down the left side and have some guy throw a bottle at me. I don't know. I've been there, but not as a competitor. It's
so
scary.
Where are they at after that victory the other night?
They're third.
So what do they have to do
now? If the tournament were to end now,
yes.
They'd go to the World Cup.
My goodness. And we haven't been in the World Cup since what? 80-something? 84? 86.
Since Bobby Leonard Doozy. How do you like that for a reference? All right, everyone. Hebsy on Sports. Mark Hebsher continues to pump out some great commentary and great sports information. Number one in our hearts. And we couldn't be happier for you. Tell us how we get it, the details, and where people find you.
Right. You can come knock on my door. I live in Little Italy.
Nice.
Or you can listen to the podcast, Hebsy on Sports. And every Friday, we do a live show at 9:20 in the morning on Friday mornings, Eastern time. And you can pick it up on my YouTube channel, which would be Mark Hebsher.
And
have a great one, guys.
Is it still brought to you by Crosswinds?
Crosswinds Golf and Country Club.
I saw a little exchange between you and our mutual buddy John Wang. And if he is in town next summer, why don't the three of us grab Freddie and we'll go play together, okay?
That would be awesome. Winger's a good player too, like you, eh, Howard?
Yeah, he's a decent golfer for sure. Just notice how I sidestep, not like
I noticed.
Me.
Yeah, I noticed.
He's all right.
I noticed. Yeah,
yeah. There's a league that I'm playing in that's just a tiny bit different. Anyway, take care, Mark Hebsher.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
I'm very shy about the. My golf abilities. I don't like to. Put that in people's faces. You know.
I know. You're very, very. You know what you are. You're humble.
Very humble. I know. I love watching Hebsher trying to figure out how to get out of this meeting. It's pretty good.
just listening.
No, it's okay. Just hit. There's a thing. It's just hit end. Goodbye. Just off you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fine.
You're done. That's the end of you. Thanks, Marky. John's a good golfer, you know. So I'm going to be visiting this guy in Florence, Italy. There you go. Let's first mention that I'm going to be off next month for a couple weeks. An opportunity has come up, and I talked about it with you on the weekend, and I'm going to be in Venice for a week and a few days with Rachel, who's going to be living there for 3 weeks. Something I really wasn't familiar with. It's called a house swap. And I've talked to my buddy Tim Daniels, who's from Moose Jaw originally, and I sent him a note and said, hey, could we come down and visit you in Florence? So we're going to do that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he sent me a note saying, yeah, I'd love to show you around.
You know, Howard, in Florence, they have a river that runs through it, and there's all sorts of, and I imagine they'd be open in November because the climate's a little warmer than here.
Mm-hmm.
They have all neat little bars and restaurants along this river, and oh, it's so cool.
Well, I've never been to Italy, so I'm very much mm-hmm. looking forward to it. And the idea of being able to stay not in a hotel, like Rachel has swapped her place in Toronto with somebody, a Canadian who lives in Venice. So we're going to have her place for free for 3 weeks. I'm only going to be there for 10 days. But I'm looking forward to that. And I'm also looking forward to going to Florence again because Tim Daniels, this guy I knew in Moose Jaw, who's now our client with Health Gauge, he lives there. And you know, it's always, you know, cooler, I guess, to be shown around a place by somebody that actually is a resident. And hopefully will tell us where to go and where to stay. And
Quickly, can I tell you a little Italian story?
I wish you would, please. Please tell me something.
I guess it was back 2005. We're doing a tour of northern Italy. It's like Cinque Terre, Cinque Terre, they call it. There's five little towns along the coast on the cliffs. So we hadn't booked ahead. We arrive in the one little town that you drive into. I forget the name of it off the top of my head because I do that nowadays. Couldn't find a place to stay, Howard. Everything was booked solid. It was very frustrating. We're tired. We're hot. We're hungry. We're thirsty. Running up to these places, banging on the door. Nothing available. Didn't know what we were going to do. Finally, I go into this place and I ask again, do you have any rooms? No, sir.
We do not. And I thought, well, I guess we're going to have to leave this town, go somewhere else. As I'm leaving, this woman walks up to me and she says, sir. I said, yeah, you need a place to stay? And I said, yes. She said, come with me. Her daughter had sort of like a condominium or flat in this building and was out of town. And she said, I will rent this to you. So she takes us to this place, and we have to walk up 4 or 5 flights of stairs to get to it. But it's the top part of this building. Just beautiful. Everywhere you look out here, you saw ocean. You look out here, you saw hills. You look out here, you saw grapevines. Do you want me to keep talking about looking out and what you would see?
Now, give me all the... What did you see in all the many directions that you were looking?
Anyway, it turns out...
How about when you looked up? What did you see then?
The ceiling. But apparently... From what we gather, locals are not supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah?
They are not supposed to rent private homes.
How much did that cost you? What did your cheeks have to open for that?
You know what, Howard? I don't even remember.
Doesn't even matter.
You want to talk about this place? Was just that we were living in a beautiful Italian flat that was being rented to us when it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
All I remember is waking up the first morning and looking outside, and all I could see was a little Italian man picking lemons off a tree. And I thought, man, I'm in Italy, and I feel real good right now.
No.
Like, just so, you know, it was just, the environment was perfect, and to see that sight.
So, did this guy who was picking lemons off a tree, did he see you? Like, oh, there's Freddy. Is that my Freddy?
That I can't answer.
Okay.
That I can't answer. But anyway.
Well, that's, you know what that was?
The long and the short of it, it was just a wonderful experience to go from being frustrated and tired and hot to have this offered to us. And we ended up staying there 3 or 4 days, and it was great.
Well, that's a beautiful story. And I'm glad you shared that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Anyway, I'm very excited. We'll talk more about it in the next couple of weeks. But I'm just going to let you know I'll be off for a couple of weeks in the middle of November. And Health Gauge, of course, that's how it all started with this guy, Tim Daniels. We had them on somewhere in February, and he came on the show. And before he started talking about this company, he said, I should let you know, I know Howard from Moose Jaw. Anyway, now you know, we've caught up. And I'm going to be talking to him this week. Like, I didn't ask him to stay at his house. I'm not doing that. But I was kind of hoping he'd be like, hey, if you want to stay at my friend's place, he's not here. Anyway, you know what I mean? You never know. In the note I wrote him, I wasn't like, oh, and Rachel and I would like to see if we could stay in your, you know, pensione or whatever, you know, a guest house is called in Italy.
You want to stay in his pants.
In pants, yeah. Can we stay in your pantalones? Anyway, the Health Gauge, as you know, is this watch that we're wearing. It monitors your blood pressure, your oxygen saturation, pulse wave velocity, and so much more. How many steps are you walking? You know what? Lots of those watches do that, but very few will also tell you what your blood pressure is. Find out more at healthgauge.com and use the promo code HumbleAndFred15. No, I don't think you put the and in there. I think it's just HumbleFred15 for 15% off at checkout. Go to healthgauge.com, Frederick.
I received a wonderful note from Tim Niblett the other night after the show saying how much he enjoyed it. Congratulations and the such. And I get back to him and, you know, expressed how I feel about him as well. He's a very
beautiful
man.
Yeah.
And Tim Niblett. What can I say? Humble and Fred listeners, several have become clients of the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca. Tim is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. And again, if you have an existing portfolio, you want somebody to have a second look at it, or you want to start from scratch and build something big, you talk to Tim. Tim Niblett, Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
I was hoping this was Dan Duran, but I'm not 100% sure.
Looks like somebody from out of space.
Oh, it is Dan Duran.
Oh,
it is Dan Duran.
Why? It reset itself. My little name.
Yeah, your name now is H9VBDZ. And now with the news, here's H9VBDZ.
Oh,
H9, the weatherman comes.
Howard.
Fred.
Quickly, before we get to Dan.
No, tell me more about the things you could see from the apartment in Italy.
The other day, whatever day it was, did you see the William Shatner thing after going up into space? It was the most wonderful.
Yeah, like, I'm about to play it for you.
Oh, okay. Like, it was something else. I mean, you talk about, the guy's 90 years old. The way he expressed that was just unbelievable. That whole life and death thing, I knew exactly what he was talking about. It was wild.
Oh, I don't have that. I have him in space.
Hmm.
Where did I put it?
Anyway, I watched the whole thing from beginning to end, the launch, him up there, him coming down, and then when he was talking to, what's his name? The big shot, the Amazon guy, what's his name?
Bezos?
Bezos,
yeah.
It was really remarkable to listen to him describe what he had just been through.
Anyway. You know what, I have to apologize, guys. I actually had the Shatner... Jesus Christ, I don't know what I did with it. Anyway, if you get a chance, I didn't see the interview. I don't have that audio, but I had the audio of him in space doing that Shatner thing that he does. Amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, he described the Earth's atmosphere as a little blue comforter.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. And then talking about going from blue to black and from life to death. And it was just, the man's 90.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And I didn't get the impression that it was, you know, that he had rehearsed that or anything. It just came. And then he started crying. It was, wow. It was something. Wow.
Yeah, it's okay. Reacts. Here it is. No, I'm sorry. Anyway.
It's okay. I think I've described it beautifully anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, almost as well as you described all the things you could see from the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. Here it is. This isn't what I wanted either.
Well, you know, we could come back to this tomorrow.
You could be prepared. I guess I could. You know what, Dan? I don't need your little snipey snipers. Okay, don't you worry. Okay. Our show is just fine. It's not a regular show. We're just fine.
Okay. Did you get that clip of
Shatner?
Here we
go. Here's Shatner.
Oh, Jesus. No description.
No description.
Wait. This is nuts!
Oh.
She grabbed his nuts.
Yeah, she grabbed right into Shatner's dick.
And weightlessness, she grabbed his nuts. No wonder he loved it.
But, you know, if you see this video... To your point about him being 90, he's 90. I can't walk up and down the stairs right now because the ball of my foot hurts. But Shatner's in space at 90.
Listen, he would have had to have got clearance. How many 90-year-olds would get clearance to be blasted off into space?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Well, I don't either. It's just so much
14.
Of this.
14.
Well, one so far.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I went in. I had a chance to go into this is years ago and somewhere in the last 10 years. I was lucky enough to get a ride on the Blue Angels. I went up on an F-18. That's a very fast airplane. Mm-hmm. I had to be cleared, physically able to withstand whatever G's we were going to pull. So what did Shatner have to do to get in to go into space?
I once cleared a room with a Blue Angel.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you describe that in some more detail? Dan, did you hear people were excited about the Dan Duran weather song, which I'd forgot about completely?
Oh, yeah, back in the, before we settled on the final version.
But remember when originally it was Dan Duran, Dan Duran weather, weather, Dan Duran, Dan Duran weather.
I know, that's a great tune.
And that was replaced by this.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes to size for credentials he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
My voice is dead. And now with the news, here's H9VBBZ. Here he is, H9, over to you.
This is National No Beard Day. To celebrate, shave for God's sake. Canon is getting sued for its stupid printer tricks. It seems that if you buy their 3-in-1 printers, you know, it's scan, fax, and print, you cannot use it to scan or fax unless there is a functioning ink cartridge in it. I'm sure this is not the only company that does this. So anyway, a guy named David Leacroft has started up a class action lawsuit for $5 million for false advertising, for deceiving the buyer, and unjust enrichment, basically for forcing an owner to buy a blob of ink, which, by the way, is on the top 10 list of most expensive liquids on the planet.
I'm sorry, what's the most expensive liquid?
Printer ink.
Printer ink, right.
It's ridiculous. It's like razor blades. Just you know, there's something going on there, but yeah. They keep getting away with it.
I got some good. I got a good deal on blades at Costco there in one of my first return visits. Pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, but
yeah, it really was.
Even at that, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Like, yeah.
By the way, you know, I made a poached halibut on Saturday night. And I went to get the halibut Saturday afternoon. There's another thing I know. I think I'm just stupid. I have no idea what things cost. So this recipe called for 2.5 pounds of halibut, which is a lot of fish. But I want, okay, I'll go. When I get to the halibut store, halibut is $39 a pound.
Wow.
What?
$39 a pound at a fish place. So I only got the 1 pound of halibut, which was more than enough for the two of us.
You should have checked in with Captain Highliner. I think that might be able to get a little cheaper than that.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be breaded and dunked in preservatives.
But yeah, frozen.
It was really good, but it, yeah. And so I just said to Rachel, first of all, we don't need 2.5 pounds of halibut. But yeah, I had no idea it was $39 a pound.
You know what we had for dinner last night, and this is the exact opposite end of the spectrum. I went to Costco, and Delise has made pulled pork lately, but it wasn't pulled pork. I bought 2 pork shoulders. So yesterday, I took one of the pork shoulders, quite sizable, and I put jerk seasoning all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the oven at 225 degrees for 6 hours.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then I went over to a little Caribbean shop over here, and I just bought rice and beans.
No, did you?
To go with it.
Yeah.
And some jerk gravy.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, this jerk pork I had was the best. And I like jerk pork, these Caribbean places that offer it. This jerk pork I made yesterday is the best I've ever had. I did it with a shoulder, with the proper seasoning, and it was delicious. And you know what one of those pork shoulders costs? Like $12. A roast beef the same size would be like $70.
For sure. But what about the time it took you to go to the jerk store? You had to leave your home at your hourly rate. And
I have nothing to do these days.
Well, may I tell you, I haven't been cooking as much, but this was one of the simplest fish. I only have two ways of cooking fish. You either grill it or you poach it. But this was an interesting recipe in that you... you poach it in really low heat, like 250 degrees in the oven for 90 minutes. And
does that mean poaching like water in water?
No.
Like
you cover what, you know, you basically, you put a, what did I use? Parsley, salt and pepper, lots of salt and pepper. And then you cover it in about a cup of olive oil.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of poaches in its own liquid, and you leave it covered, but it was very slow, 250 degrees for 90 minutes, and it was so flaky. We served it over rice with some spinach. Very healthy. Dan Duran, do you have any food highlights you'd like to share? I'm sorry, I mean H9V.
I've been stoning my salmon lately, so that's been
What does that even mean? Get stoned? Well, you make salmon?
You take a stone and put it in your barbecue or oven and make it really hot.
Like a laclette or something, a raclette.
Yeah. I don't know if it's raclette, but anyway, whatever they call it, it's been good for me. I love the taste.
No, Dan, when you do that, do you just grab any rock, like laying around, and then just clean it off really, and then put it on the barbecue? Is that what you're doing, or is it a purchased rock?
It's a piece of a granite from somewhere. Granite or marble or something that I picked up somewhere.
Like from the side of the hill there?
No, it was kind of that. It wasn't like I bought it.
But what is that called when you heat the stone and the stone cooks the protein? I think it's raclette.
He said it's clit.
It's something. Yes, you use. It's called clit cooking. Yeah, yeah,
that's what exactly it's
called.
It. Yeah,
yeah. You find it's hard to find. Most guys can't do it. Most guys can't.
Were you listening? He said it's clit cooking.
Yeah, you can't. Most guys can't find it, and when they do, they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Meow, meow, meow,
meow,
meow.
You're going to like this next story.
Hey, Dan, people were fascinated, Dan, about the pizza that we ordered during the show the other night. Turned out to be, it was so good, huh?
Yeah, it was really, really good.
It's
especially after we waited so long to get there, right?
It's Dino's on the Queensway. It's one of those places that has the big oven and they cook it. It's not fast food. Dan, do you have
imagine
one more?
Imagine a pizza place with a big oven.
You know, I'll tell you what, fast food places don't have the big oven.
You got another story,
smart guy, Dan?
Yeah, I do.
All right, here's H9VBDZ.
All right. Maine has a new law. No more profane vanity license plates. Up until today, you could pretty much put anything on a plate, like I eat ass, or weed for me, or balls deep.
How do you cook ass, Dan? Do you get a nice rock and put it on the barbecue? And
yeah, I stone it. Yeah. As of now, those deemed offensive will be recalled, but until that actually happens, you can still be entertained by license plates that say, you come first, or butt hurt, and you're a dink.
That is very good, Dan.
In Ontario, they jumped on that pretty quick, eh? Back in the day when you could get the vanity plates.
You can't. It can't be profanity.
Yeah.
It can be vanity, but not pro-vanity. Like,
I think they've hired somebody to go through them going, oh, you can't say that.
Same guy that's doing the cap stuff for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Duran, thank you for your service.
He's on it.
Just hang on a second. We're going to close the show. I will report to you how the unit has worked today, and maybe we have
some unit update.
Well, yeah, it seems to
stabilized.
Seems so, but you never know. Thank you very much to Mark Hebscher. Thank you for everyone as we begin year 11. Day one, year 11 is complete. Tomorrow morning, M. Greiner will be our guest. Wednesday, scheduled to appear. A guy that we, Ripken, used to be associated with. Yeah. And Alan Cross returns to the program on Thursday. That's what's coming up.
You know, I remember M. Greiner years ago on our show, Howard.
Yep.
She made an appearance. Remember what she sang? It was fantastic.
I know she's played. I just see her playing a single piano in our studio. What was she?
She played Madonna's Holiday.
That's right.
Her version, and it was really cool.
Hey, can you do your version of Phil and say goodbye to all our sponsors, please?
Well, this episode of the Humble and Fred Show was brought to you by the Chambers Plan, bodog.eu/sports, the Retirement Sherpa, Health Gauge, Gig Sky, and Doer, who so graciously presented. They were the presenting sponsor of Humble and Fred's 10th anniversary show. Until tomorrow, see ya.
All right, everyone.
You like that part?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. And then, see, what's cool for me and Dan is now that we say goodbye to the listeners, you can still continue telling us some of the things you saw that day in Italy out the window.
Right.
Like ambulance drivers, shine your shoes with your microphone blues, your suits with your parachute boots, passing the Ducci from coast to coast like a man, Gary Wilson. Back the most.